Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. In the end, in our previous shiur, the Gemara taught us a very fundamental machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Why, if somebody, we learned in the first Mishnah of Masechta that Eish, fire, is one of the mazikim. But the Gemara now begins to discuss what is the mazik of Eish. Rabbi Yochanan said, Isha Mishem Chitzov, that the mazik of Eish is like Odom HaMazik. If I throw a spear, I would be Chayiv. Similarly, if I light a fire, it's like I threw a spear. So it's similar to Odom HaMazik. And Rish Lakish had said, that the issue is Mamon HaMazik. The fire is considered owned by me. And since it's owned by me, I am responsible for what I own doing damage. It says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kra Mesnis Messiah Le Rabbi Yochanan. There's both a Pasuk and a Braisa that indicate that Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Eish is the correct understanding. It says the Gemara, Kra, what is the Pasuk? The pasuk says kaseitze eish matzah kaitziv and nechal gadish arikama asadam. The Torah uses the word teitze meatzma, that the fire went out by itself, and the Torah says under those circumstances shalom yisham hamavas abeira. The pasuk calls the person who put on the fire as mavir, as he was the one that lit the fire. So we see, and as the Rishonim point out, instead of the Torah saying the word kiyotzi eish, the Torah says kiseitze, the fire goes out by itself, and still I am being responsible. Shema mino. So we see from here, says the Gemara, that eishoi mishom chitzoi, that the issue of eish Tariq Dosh is teaching us that even though I lit the fire in my property and then it just spread on its own elsewhere, so it's no different than if I threw a spear from my property and landed elsewhere, that I shall be held responsible. Says Gemara Masnisa. We also have a raya from a Braisa that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of how to understand Eish is correct, and I saw that the Achronim ask if we were able to prove, as we just began our shiur, that Eish Mishim Chitzoi based on a pasuk. Why does the Gemara also have to bring a raya from a brisa? So the Sefer Taras Chaim answers that this pasuk is used to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amma Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Olai l'shalem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I, Kaviyachol, burnt the Beis HaMikdash, and I am the one that therefore will be held responsible, Kaviyachol, for burning the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, that pasuk is coming to teach us another halacha. And therefore, the Gemara says, so even if we'll say the pasuk is there for a different rasha, there's a braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Pasuk HaKosov, the Pasuk starts B'niske Memoinai, that Tiseitze Eish, the fire went out on its own, not that I am the one that did anything. V'sayim, but the Pasuk ends as if I did it, because we look at the end of the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins with the words Kiseitze Eish, the fire went out on its own. It wasn't that I actually did anything. V'sayim B'niske Gufa, but it concludes that I am held responsible. Leimer, to teach us that as soon as I light a fire, Leimelach, that I am held Eish Mishim Chitzoi. The Kliyakar says that the Pasuk says, Yaruch Oise Aaron Ubonov, Ubnei Ubonov Me'erev Ad Boiker. So it says that he put the wood on the Mizbeach, Me'erev Ad Boiker. Another question asked the Kliyakar is that actually they only put wood on the Mizbeach once. every evening they put on the wood. So why did it say me'erev abayker? So explains the Kli Yoker. Now that we're learning Eishem Mishem Chitzov, so even though I just put on the wood once, but once I put on the wood, the halacha views it as if I had put on the fire for an entire time, because that's what Eishem Mishem Chitzov teaches us. Amar Rava. So it says Rava Kashla Labaya. Abaya asked, Laman the Amar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Eish Mishem Chitzov, that the Chiyav of Eish, as we're learning, is because of Chitzov. So if that's the case, Tam Be'eish, the Pater Rachmana Heichem Mishkach Slop, as we have learned previously, that there's a lochop, that if something is concealed and it's burnt by a fire, you will not be chayv for Eish. So now the question is that if we'll say, because it's Momen HaMazik, so we could say that Momen HaMazik, I didn't directly do the damage. Since I didn't do the damage directly, it's only something that I own did the damage. So we could understand why, under certain circumstances, the Torah said, I'm chayiv, and certain circumstances, I'm potter. But if we're learning, like Rabbi Yochanan learns, that Eish Mishem Chitzah, and Eish Mishem Chitzah means that I did the damage. So if I did the damage, why would it make a difference if what was damaged was covered or not? And again, this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. According to Reish Lakish, it says Eish Mishem Memayna, even though there is a chiyuv of Tumen by Karen Shein Varegel, there are very unique halachas as we keep on learning in our Masechta. Every type of Momen HaMazik comes with its own very unique halachas. As we've said, Keren is chayiv even the Rishus HaRabim. Shein HaRegel are not chayiv in the Rishus HaRabim. Keren has the concept of Tam. They don't have the concept of Tam. But so we could understand that Eish, according to Reish Lakish, is a form of Momen HaMazik. And since it's a form of Momen HaMazik, it comes with its own rule. And one of the rules are that you're not chai betamin. But if we're going to learn that Eish is Mishim Chitzov, and we're learning that Eish is Mishim Chitzov, and therefore it's considered Adam HaMazik, by Adam HaMazik, particularly since we always learn the halacha of Adam Mu'ad La'olam, so therefore why would we want to, how would we be able to understand that Taman should be exempt by Eish? Of course, the Achroinim ask, this halacha of Taman, if there's chayv by Taman by Eish or not, is machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanon. It is the opinion of the Rabbanon that there's no chayv of Taman by Eish. But the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that there's a chayv. So why don't we say that Rabbi Reichanan, who says Eish Mishim Chitzov, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda? So the Achroinim respond, we actually are going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that Eish Mishim Chitzov. And we also paskin that we are potter by Tomen. So the Gemara wants that all the halachas should be consistent. And the only way we could accomplish that type of consistency is by being able to answer this question. V'nichalei, and answers the Gemara, Abaya asked this question, answered this question, the fire was lit in his chatzar. There was a wall between his property and the next property. So since at that time when the fire was lit, it wasn't able to penetrate into the next property. And then as the fire was spreading, the wall fell down. And of course the Gemara points out, it wasn't because of the fire. Because if the fire was caused that the wall should go down, so that's all the same. It's the same Eish, says the Gemara. So now the damage at the next property, the Hossam, since the wall was supposed to be up, and as long as the wall would be up, the fire could not have penetrated that wall, that's why there's a new concept. And that's the concept of kololoi chitzov, that the fire has come to an end. My fire, my act comes to an end because this fire that I made could not have spread further. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand that that's the reason you're potter, because of this new concept of kololoi chitzov, yochalin yigoli namli kololoi chitzov. So why is there a difference between if the property, what was on the next property, was revealed or unrevealed? It shouldn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, we have to now say, el man deslim shem chitzov, even the man d'omer, even Rabbi Yochanan, who says ishem shem chitzov, also subscribes because of Islam and Moinai, that he also subscribes Ishim Isham and Moinai. Okay, going Shaila Lagodroi, and the case over here was that he should have put up a fence to prevent the fire from spreading, and then he didn't. Since he didn't put up the fence, the Hasam Sharhu, it's like a case, like somebody bringing an animal into a place and not into his field and not closing the door, that the halacha is that if his animal goes out and does damage, he's chayiv. Here too, because I made the fire, I'm only chayiv I'm chayiv because of a minai, and I'm not chayiv for tamun, because as I said earlier, there's a special din of by Momen Amazik, that certain times, even though we can't understand why, the halacha is that Maman HaMazik, you're not always chayiv. So now the Gemara is explaining that if the Vart is Eishim Hashem Chitzov, and you didn't do anything wrong because you put up the fire in a place where it couldn't have spread normally, so then the halacha is that it's not considered Chitzov, and since it's not considered chitzov, that's why you're not chayiv. So Rav Flo asks a question. He says, we started the shir supporting Rabbi Yochanan's opinion by bringing a pasuk, by bringing a brisa. And now we say, well, Rabbi Yochanan again also agrees the ishim shem emaynai. But what happens with the pasuk and the brisa that we began the shir with? So Rav Flo says, the fact that the Torah teaches us that by tumen your potter is a clearly indication that with the pasuk and with the brisa, it can't mean that Rabbi Yochanan only holds eishim shem chitzav. And that's also why the Gemara didn't ask what's Rish Lakish going to do with this pasuk and what's Rish Lakish going to do with this brisa, because the Gemara was well aware that we're going to have to say that everybody subscribes to Eishim Shem Emaynai because of the halacha of Taman. That's why the Gemara didn't even bother asking that question. Ask the Gemara, but now that we have come to the conclusion, Rabbi Yosh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan both agree with Emaynai. Rabbi Yochanan also added Mishem Chitzov. So what is the practical nafkamina? And it says, Gemara, Ikabinai L'chaiv V'Abedvarim. The halacha is that a Adam HaMazik is Chayiv Nezek Tzar Ripu Sheves Boishes. A Momen HaMazik is not Chayiv all those different damages. And now the question will be, if it'll just be Mishum HaMoinoi, so you'll only be Chayiv for Nezek. If it's going to be Eish Mishum Chitzov, you're certainly also going to be Chayiv Tzar Ripu Sheves for any damage it does. The Machloikus Rishonim, will you also be chayiv for boishes? Some Rishonim, Rashi seems to say that you'll be chayiv for boishes as well. And Taisa seems to say that even if you say Isha Mishum Chitzov, you would not be chayiv for boishes. Not only is that the machloikis, but it depends, and based on this machloikis, we're going to have a machloikis, how to say, what are the arba dvorim? The Mishnah said that the Gemara just said, the nafkamina will be arba dvarim. There will be a question, what does arba dvarim mean? Do the arba dvarim mean nezek, tsar, ripu, and sheves? Or do arba dvarim mean tsar, ripu, sheves, and boishes? And nezek
was not needed to be mentioned because of course Yechayif and Nezek, because everybody agrees Yechayif and Nezek, and that wasn't included. Says the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah that if there was a biscuit that had a coal attached to it, and the dog took this biscuit and the coal, and he ate the biscuit, and the grain on which the coal attached to the biscuit got burnt, al charora mishalim, for the charora, the owner of the dog pays nezek shalim, and on the gadish, he pays chetzik nezek. Ask the Gemara, man chayiv, who is going to be responsible for the burning of the grain? The Baal Kelev, certainly the one who the dog. Ask the Gemara, but why is only the one that owns the dog responsible? Ask the Gemara, v'l'chayiv nami Baal Gecheles, the one that owns the coal. Without that coal, it wouldn't have gotten burnt. So since without the coal it wouldn't have gotten burned, why is he not chayiv? Answers the Gemara, b'shim gechaltai. The person who owns the coal did everything he can to properly watch the coal, and therefore he cannot be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Ikishishim gechaltai. If we are referring to that he properly watched his coal, so how did the story ever happen? My boy Kelev Hossam, how did the dog ever get to the coal that it should be able to bring it to the next person's grain? Answers the Gemara, Shechoser. The dog dug under the ground, and that's how he was able to get to that coal. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning, or a meribrader of Kahana, Zois Ameris, Stam Delosois, when we have a door, Chasurus Ein Kelev, we have to assume that a dog is going to dig under the door. And therefore, because it's considered normal, so we go back to a concept that we've discussed numerous times. The dog is chayiv nezek shalim, because you only chayiv chatzi nezek when it's mishuna. Karen, we always explain in our shurim, is something unusual. This is not considered unusual, and since it's not unusual, that's why the owner of the dog will be held responsible. So ask Tosfos, the very maskil kishishimer. We're explaining that the Gemara is speaking about a case that the person watched his coal properly. What does it mean when we say that he watched his coal properly? That the coal was put in a place where nobody could get to it and it cannot do damage. But then the Gemara said, how did the dog get to it? Because dog dug under the door and got to the coal. And the Gemara just said that is normal for a dog to do. So if that's normal, so why is it considered that the owner of the coal properly watched his coal? If he knows that this is a place that dogs could get to by digging under the door, it should be considered that he didn't properly watch the coal. So Tosfos answers, Chazal don't ask people to do something that more than it's expected. So if somebody has a coal and he watched the coal the way most people watch coals, even though this happened, that the dog got to it, and even though we're explaining dogs going under the door is not unusual, the person is not obligated to do more than what's expected of him. Derivit says that, yes, all a person has to do when he watches a coal, a very interesting Derivit. He says, even if we'll say that a dog is normally going to creep under the door to get to the coal, but says the Ravid that is not what the person of the coal has to watch. The person has to watch a coal b'toyres eish, as far as fire is concerned. So I have to make sure that my fire is contained. I have to make sure that my fire can't spread. A dog taking coals is not something that I am obligated to do. And since it's not something I'm obligated to do, then I'm not chayiv. And actually, this is a very interesting discussion that I saw in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed. There's a child that has a ball. Most children have a ball. have balls to play with. And there's a child playing with a ball in his house, and there's an open window, and the child kicked the ball, and the ball went and broke the next door neighbor's window. What is the halacha? Will the child's father be responsible? So he says that the father should be held responsible. Because what did our Gemara just say? Our Gemara just said, and the Ravid said it, even the Ravid said it, that even though I don't have to be, when I have something, I don't have to be worried about outsiders coming in and doing something wrong. And that's why the Ravid said, I don't have to be concerned about the dog that's going to creep into the house and take the coal. But I do have to take care of the coal. The same thing if I have a child in my home and my child plays with balls and balls get kicked and balls fly out the window. And if they fly out the window, that's all normal. So certainly according to Tosfos, that we just learned that Tosfos teaches us that whenever you watch something, that whenever you have something, you have to watch something in the way it's supposed to be watched. So certainly an argument would have to be made that watching a ball that it shouldn't fly out is certainly the way a ball should be watched. But even if you say that you have to watch, even according to the Ravid, who has a much lower level of Shmira, this is still within the category of the Shmira. Because the category of Shmira that the Ravid exempts us from is only from things that are coming from the outside, the dog coming into my house, but not from inside. But now, he continues an interesting discussion. He says that this child, the father whose child has the ball, this child has money. And the father wants to use the father wants to use the child's money. So the question is, he says, you're the one that did the damage. Are you chayiv or not? So even though he goes into a discussion that what are the responsibilities that we have to make sure that our children don't do averis, and maybe if we'll say, even if we're not responsible to make sure our children only eat kosher food, etc., we certainly have a responsibility. We have responsibility to make sure that our children don't do damage. It could still very well be, he suggests, that my child should be held responsible because he should be taught that he's responsible if he does damage. But he says, of course, that's not the halacha. If it's in the father's house and the child is a child, the father will be held responsible, not the child. He does go into consideration that if this child is old enough to understand what money means, and he's old enough to understand what responsibility means, there could be an argument made, he says, that the father, he could take the money from the child to teach the child the lesson, what happens when you do damage. So now the Gemara continues. So we're speaking about the dog, whose dog took the biscuit out of someone's house with the coal attached to it. Says the Gemara, Doch Lahecha, exactly where did the dog eat this basket? Ilam da'achl b'kodesh da'alma. He went and there's grain out there, habinan, in order, and this is considered a case of shame. But ask the Gemara, b'inan b'say, achar, the halacha is that you only chayiv for shame, b'rishus ha'nizik. If this is not taking place, b'rishus ha'nizik, the leka, there wouldn't be any shame. So therefore suggest the Gemara, Le'tzricha, it must be speaking about a case. Le'tzricha da'achle b'kodesh da'bala b'charora. It was eaten in the place that the owner of the biscuit owns. And therefore, it's placed in Nizik. But now, the Gemara says, so this should be really help us to a different question. And this is Tifshut. There's a question that we've discussed whenever we speak about the shame. Pi paro k'chatzah nizik dani. When we speak about the mouth of the cow that ate something, is that considered b'shus ha'nizik? Or di k'chatzah ha'mazik dami, if we're going to say that the cow that ate, the mouth where the mouth was eaten, the mouth in which the food is found, is the chatzah ha'mazik, lemele, so why can't the mazik tell the person who owns the food, my bar riftak bepumid the kaboy. Why is your food in my rishus? And the Gemara says, there's a question. Ibay lahu, the halacha that needs to be understood. Pi paro, the mouth of the paro that eats somebody else's food. How does the halacha look at it? Kichatsa nizik dami, kichatsa mazik dami. Do we look at it as if it's the nizik's property or the mazik's dami? Vi amrit, because if we're going to say kichatsa mazik dami, so ask the Gemara the obvious question. If we're going to say that the mouth in which the food finds itself is always considered, if it's always considered the mouth, it's always considered the chatzar mazik. So ask the Gemara, Yamit kechatzar mazik dami. So shein the chayv rachmana hechem shkachsla will never have shein, because in order to have shein, as we quoted a moment ago, the halacha is that it has to be bibestay acher. It has to be in somebody else's property. But if this, if it happened in my cow, in my animal's mouth, and my animal's mouth is considered my property, where will we ever have shein? Answers the Gemara, that's not a question. Amar Ramari Bered Rav Kahana, we could have shein in a situation. The animal rubbed itself up against the wall and for enjoyment. So that didn't take place in my property. Since it didn't take place in my property, that's why that everybody would be agreeable that that's a case of shein. So it would be very bechiddush. The case of shein would not be in the case where it ate, but rather when it didn't eat. Says the Gemara, the Maskla Mazutra, we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta that how do we understand shein for being based on the pasuk kishiyava golas tuma, that it's completely eaten up. So when you eat something, so then we understand that that's completely consumed. But if an animal rubs its sense against the wall, the leka, then it doesn't destroy the wall. Or rolls on the peiris, it doesn't completely destroy it. But the pasuk, when it speaks about shein, says, atumai, completely destroyed. Answers the one, that's not a question. Ravina Amma, the Shaft Salmi. There were engraving on that wall where the animal rubbed itself. And therefore, since they're engraving on the wall where the animal rubbed itself, it completely destroyed that engraving. Vashem the psui pseya. When it rolled itself on the fruit, it completely destroyed it. And that's why it would be shame, even though it didn't take place in the mouth of the animal, because now we're learning that shame in the mouth of the animal is not shame. But one of the things that we clearly learn from our Gemara is the responsibility of the owner of a dog, the responsibility we spoke a few moments ago about a child's father. There's an interesting shlaw. The shlaw says that when we speak about shlemus, a person trying to achieve shlemus, to be perfect, the shlemus ha-mamon, shlemus ha-guf, and shlemus ha-seichel. Yaakov Avinu was mispalel that he should come shalom begufoy, shalom be-mamonoy, shalom b'terosai. And he goes on to explain that shlemus doesn't only mean for a person for himself. Shlemus also means when has a person achieved shlemus is when his perfection also doesn't affect negatively other people. So he explains that's what we're learning in our Gemara. Shalom b'mamonai doesn't just mean that you are careful with the money you earn. Shalom b'mamonai also requires that you should be thinking about other people. And if you're not thinking about other people, then you're not shalom b'mamonai when you're not concerned about others. Says the Gemara again. So we are now trying to understand, answer the question, when an animal ate something, and something is found in the mouth of the animal, is it considered in the Rishus HaNizik or in the Rishus HaNazik? It says, Matoshma, the Gemishta Mesechta Sanhedrin Ayin Vav Amabeis teaches us, Shisa as a Caliph. If somebody got a dog excited to attack another person, Shisa Sanachish, or he got a snake excited to do damage, Potter. Because this is the concept that we often discuss.
of Groma Benazokin, that if I didn't actually do direct damage, even though I was the cause of the damage, the halach is that I'm potter. And of course, we always say, Groma Benazokin is potter medine Adam, b'chayiv medine Shemayim. Says the Gemara, man potter. Says the Gemara, who's the one that's potter? B'shasa potter. The one that instigated the dog, he won't be chayiv. However, v'chayiv ba'al kelev, the one that the owner of the dog will be held responsible because his dog did the damage. E amrit, but ask the Gemara if we're going to say the mouth of the cat of the animal in our shear, it's kachatzar mazik dami lemale. So why can't the owner of the dog say to the one that got hurt, my baruch yotcha bepumi dekaboy? Why was your thing found in my dog's mouth? Says the Gemara, aim a part of af mishasa. Says the Gemara, indeed, what that Mishnah says, neither will be held responsible. The one that instigated the dog won't be held responsible because he's the one, he's the one that only did instigation. He's the only one, he's only a groma b'nezakin. And the other one will be potter because he can indeed say, why is your animal, why is your thing found in my animal's mouth? Bibai Seima. Says the Gemara, we could explain that Mishnah that it's speaking about a unique situation. The afkel and the voy v'sarte, the dog stuck out his teeth and bit the person. So it did, the hand of that person never got into the dog's mouth. And therefore, the dog will never be held, the dog will be held responsible. The owner of the dog will be held responsible because it wasn't in his mouth. So it's a very interesting discussion that Reb Shua Leib Diskin, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, I'm sorry, in the Shals Tzuvus Har Tzvi, Oyer Chaim Chelak Alef Sim Kuf Ayin Dalid discusses. He says that what is the halacha if on Shabbos I have a very well trained dog? And the dog does melacha, will it be considered that I am chayiv for doing melacha? In our Gemara, we just learned that somebody got his dog to do something, he will not be held responsible. And we're learning the reason he's not held responsible is because he's a groma benazakin. What will be the din on Shabbos? So of course he right away says that whenever we have this question, we can't be having this question about a dog that I own. Because the Torah says, "Leman yinuach sharcha v'chamarcha," there's a din of shvisas behema. I can't let my animal work on Shabbos. So of course we're not talking about an animal that I own. But here, if I don't own the animal, but there's an animal that's a well-trained animal, and I know how to cause the animal to do malacha, will be chayiv or not? Says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, one of the malachas on Shabbos is mechamer. Mechamer means causing an animal to do melachim. So it turns out to be a very interesting concept here. We in our shiurim have already identified that what is the determining factor by mazikin and what is the determining factor by Shabbos are not the same. Because as we've quoted previously, the Torah by Shabbos, it says melechas machsheves. And this is not necessarily, Shabbos has different rules. But, he says, the melacha mechamer is when I cause an animal to do something for my benefit. So if I take an animal that I don't own, but I could get the animal to do something for my benefit, that will be the melacha mechamer. So even though by Nezakim we just finished learning in our Gemara, it would be considered a case of Groma b'Nezakim, by Shabbos it would be considered a case of Mechamer. The Medrash says that when Yosef, whose father sent, Yaakov sent Yosef to see Shlom Achecha v'Shlom Atzayin, the Pasuk says, v'yirai se'merochik, the brothers saw him approaching, and the Medrash says, Amru bov v'neshas is a klaim. Go, let's get the dogs to attack him. The question is, what did the brothers mean by doing this? So, the Pashup Shat is our Gemara.
Because our Gemara just said, Shisaba as a caliph, if somebody instigates a dog to do damage, you will not be held responsible. And therefore, they said, Neshasabas a klavim will instigate the dogs. And now, I saw that the Mefarshim want to suggest that it was the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef knew that his brothers will never directly damage him. They knew, as we're learning in our Masechta, that that's considered damage. The question is, the machlokes was a shisabas a klavim, will you be chayiv? And that's why Yosef was not concerned, and that's why Yosef felt comfortable going towards his brothers. The brothers have held that shisabas a klavim, as we're learning in our shir, is potter, and therefore they felt comfortable that they want to attack him and not be held responsible. Says the Gemara, again, we're in the middle of our question. What is the halacha? How does the halacha view the mouth of the animal that did that damage? Tashma, the Mishnah over there, Masechta Sanhedrin, says, Hishach b'yis ha-nachash. If somebody took a snake and put the snake on top of somebody else and put his hand, the other person's hand, in the snake's mouth, and the snag in the snake bit him, Yudim Chayiv v'cham poitrim. Bam Rabacha b'Yakov. As we want to understand this machlokes, the venom is between the teeth. So as soon as you put the teeth, you put the atom, person's hand, person next to the teeth of the snake, it's as if you actually killed him. It's as if you stabbed him, Rashi says. It's not only grima. Lefikach, Hamakish Besayif, the person that caused the snake to bite the victim, will be Chayiv Misa. The Nachash is Potter, because the person is the one that's considered the murderer and not the snake. Well, Divacham, Eris Nachash Me'atzma Mekia, the venom comes out by itself. Lefikach, Nachash Beskila, it's the snake that's considered the one that killed him. And the Makish is only a Grom ben Zaken, and he's Potter. The Amrit asked the Gemara, Pipar Chatzah Mazik Dami, if we're going to say the mouth of the animal is Chatzah Mazik, so why can't the owner of the Nachish say to the victim, why is your hand in my snake's mouth? Answers the Gemara, Linyak Talalay Aminan. So the Gemara says that there are different rules by Mazikin and by murderer. And here we're talking about murder. And when we speak about murder, there are different rules. Umanat Tamra, says the Gemara, where do we see this from? The Tanya. The Braisa teaches us, HaNichlas L'chotza Balabai Shalai B'Shus. If somebody walks into somebody else's property without permission, V'Nachashar Shal Balabai Sumeis, and the animal that person owns kills this person who walked in, HaShab Skila, the Shar Schaiv Skila, like whenever animal kills a person, that animal has to be put to death. Uba'alim, Paturim, Mina Kaifer. But the owners don't have to pay Kaifer. Ask the Gemara, Balaam, Paturim, Kaifer, Maitama, Domalei, because the Bala Shar, the person who owns this property, says to the person who entered the property, Rishusim, my boss, why were you my property? So says the Gemara, if that's the case, Sharinami. Why don't we say that on the animal that killed the victim? Lemelei, why, my boss Brashusay, why were you on my property? And therefore, even the animal that killed the victim should not have to be put to death. Ella, what's the answer? Lenya Katala, when it comes to Misa, Lemrinan. There's a difference when it comes to halachas of mazikim, of damages, versus halachas of Misa. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer Tam the Krah, uses this Gemara that we just learned to explain a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, "Sokol yisokol asher im koyfer yushus alav." What's the pasuk trying to say? "Sokol yisokol asher." If an animal kills, "Sokol yisokol asher," the animal will always be put to death. Im ba'olav yumos, but there are going to be cases that im koyfer yushus alav. Sometimes there will be kaifer, and sometimes there won't be kaifer. Why? Because the animal that killed always will be held responsible. As far as the kaifer that the owner of that animal has to pay, that we have to look at the circumstances. And if the victim walked into his property without permission, then you wouldn't pay koifer. Says the Marhani, easy to pay tarba. There were goats that belonged to the family of tarba, that Masidil Rabbi Yosef, that they would eat from the property of Rabbi Yosef's fields. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said to Abaya, Zil Emele Lemarayu, go tell the owner of these animals, the Litznayu, that they should keep their animals under watch, not to walk into other people's field. Amalei, so Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, my Ezel, why should I go? The Ezelna, if I'll go, they'll tell me, Amalei, look the Magay de Ba'are. All they'll tell me is, why don't you put up a fence on lawn, why don't you put up a fence around your property, and if you put a fence around your property, you won't have a problem. V'gedr, says the Gemara, if it becomes the Nizik's responsibility to put up a fence, Shen d'chayv rechmanayich mishkach's law, we keep on speaking about Shen, that the animal walks into my property and eats. That's the mazik of Shen. But if now we're learning that it becomes my responsibility to put up a wall, and if I don't put up a wall, then I can have a claim. So then when will Shen be there? Says the Gemara, kishachasra. I put up a fence, and if I put a fence, then the animal went under the fence. That's when he'll be chayiv for Shein. So Nochem makes the point that we spoke earlier in our shir, Shtam delosus chasuris etzel kelef. We have to assume that a dog is going to go under the door. So why is the fence going to be acceptable? So he says that just because a fence may not be enough that a dog shouldn't go under it, it will be normally enough for a cow not to go under it. Inami, enough of good of a laila, that the wall fell down. And in those cases, the mazik, I had no way of knowing that the wall fell down and happened during the night, but the owner of the shor has to make sure still that his animal isn't wandering into other people's field. Machs Rabbi Yosef Yitema Rabba, the Sakal Elam, those people who go from Bavot et Yisrael, or the Nachsin L'Taltim, and those that go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, all should know this halacha. Hani izi de shuka. They used to bring goats to the marketplace where they shechted animals. But they used to wait to shecht the animals until the market day, because on that day you could get more for your animals. And while they're waiting with those animals, the mafsidi, so the animals go into other people's property, and they ruin those people's property. Masrinim b'merayu, Trevet Lawson Zimman. We warn the owner of these animals a number of times that they should be careful that their animals should not wander into other people's field and eat there. Eat size. If they pay attention, great, and they watch their animals, viloy. If they don't listen, we're allowed to shecht those goats. Armle tiv amavsav kub zuzuch. To sit, get whatever the goat is worth. And as I said a moment ago, the goat will be worth less than normal because it's not the day when animals were typically sold. But because that they didn't properly watch the goats, we have a right to do what we have to do to protect them. So the Achrayim explain, here we're learning that even though a person has an obligation to watch his animal from doing damage, we still see from here that the victim cannot take the law into his own hand. And he has to give proper warning to the mazik before he could do whatever he has to do to prevent any damage.